Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Spectacular Event by Kimberly Thomas. Narrated by Emma Fay. Prologue. 1 month ago.
You should try the steak, dear. It's deliciously decadent. I had the chef prepare it, especially for you. I want your honest opinion.
Rory smiled politely at the woman seated at the far end of the table. Her deep blue eyes stared back at her, assessing. She returned her attention to the dish before her. She'd already eaten most of the meager portion of baked potato, broccoli, and carrots, but skirted around the slab of steak in the center of the plate. She gingerly speared the meat with her fork and used her knife to slice off a small piece. Blood oozed from the middle of the dark red meat, causing her to cringe internally as she brought it to her mouth.
It is good, yes?
Surprisingly, this steak was tender, and she could taste the smoky charcoal aroma as the juices connected with her tongue. But then there was a metallic taste of blood that triggered her gag reflexes. She swallowed, then reached for her champagne flute to wash away the taste.
It is nice,
she managed to turn and reply. The woman gave her a triumphant smile before turning her attention back to her plate. She delicately sliced off a piece of her steak and placed it in her mouth to chew demurely. Rory felt something brush against her ankle. She looked across the table to see her fiancé's concerned blue eyes staring back at her. She fought to lift the corners of her mouth into a reassuring smile.
How are the wedding plans coming along, dear?
Rory returned her attention to her mother-in-law, already staring back at her. She paused before answering the question, already knowing that there was a strong possibility that her response would possibly unsettle the woman.
There are a few changes, but it's still on track.
She paused to look over at James. He smiled back encouragingly.
We have decided to have the wedding in Oak Harbor.
Lenora's eyes widened in surprise before something dark flashed in their blue depths. The woman managed to school her expression as she asked,
When did you make this decision?
Her focus turned to her son.
4 days ago, James replied before adding. We both decided it was the best option. It will allow Rory's family to be more involved in the wedding and give us a chance to get to know them better.
He looked over at his fiancée with an affectionate smile, which Rory returned, grateful for his explanation.
But you already decided to have the wedding at our church. Father Jeremiah has already marked the date on his calendar. And what about your booking at Le Meridian for the reception?
Lenora pressed. We've already withdrawn our appointment for Le Meridian. There wasn't a penalty fee because the wedding was months away. This time it was Rory who spoke up.
Father Jeremiah will understand, Mom,
James added.
And our guests, our family, what do I tell them?
Lenora persisted, looking pointedly at her son.
We haven't sent out the invitations yet, so it's fine, he responded.
But,
Mom, it's fine.
James spoke with a smile of reassurance. Lenora's eyes went to the other end of the table where her husband sat the entire time, focused on finishing his meal and unbothered by the conversation. As if sensing his wife's eyes on him, Richard looked up, quirking a brow. Lenora's lips spread into a grim line, and she averted her eyes to her plate, her eyebrows furrowed as she blinked rapidly. When she looked up again, a smile was on her lips, but Rory could see that it was a strained one.
Very well, then. Oak Harbor it is, she said lightly. You must let me help you plan for the wedding, dear. It's the least I can do, seeing as the wedding will no longer be in San Fran.
Her eyes flashed with determination as she stared at Rory.
Our wedding planner, Jennifer, already has everything under control. I'm not sure how much input you'll get, Lenora,
Rory answered carefully.
I understand, but I want to do this for you and my son. You're about to become a part of our family now, and I've always imagined that whomever James marries, I would help to plan the wedding. It's the least I can do.
The intonation in her voice suggested that if Rory refused, it would be a great disappointment on her end.
Okay, I'll talk to Jennifer and let her know you will be offering your input, Rory conceded.
Good, Lenora returned with a self-satisfied smirk. Rory was sure she'd just lost a great battle, and a sinking feeling settled in her chest.
Please excuse me. She placed her napkin on her chair as she stood.
James stood as well, a look of concern etched across his face.
Are you all right? He asked.
I am, Rory replied, a tiny smile of reassurance on her lips. I just need to...
She didn't finish the sentence. James nodded in understanding. Stepping away from the table, she headed for the hallway. Her low heels clicked against the marble floor and echoed throughout the cavernous open space as she made her way toward the powder room. The room was toward the end of the long hallway, which felt more like a runway rather than just the entryway for the numerous rooms on the first floor of the mansion. Rory slipped into the room, and the door closed behind her with a soft click. She walked over to the porcelain sink. Flattening her palms against the cold, hard surface, she bowed her head, eyes cast down in exhaustion. The meeting with her in-laws felt more stressful than normal. Staring at her reflection in the gilded mirror in front of her, she winced at the evident fatigue on her face. She placed her hands together, forming a cup before putting them under the tap. It came on automatically, and the water rushed out to fill up the indentation of her joined palms. Rory splashed the water against her face, welcoming the coolness on her cheeks. Hopefully it would help the color return in them.
Okay, Rory, you can do this. Just a few more hours, then you get to go home and hopefully enjoy that tub of ice cream you've been ignoring for the past couple of weeks. She sighed miserably. Who was she kidding? This evening was bound to get more unbearable the longer she and James stayed. She was sure Lenora was only biding her time before she started picking on her about her appearance, her choice of occupation, and anything else that she was sure would get to Rory. It had been like this ever since she and James started dating. When she first met James's parents, she immediately sensed the disappointment that oozed off them in waves. Lenora, especially. She had been incredibly catty and had brought Rory to the brink of tears. It had made her reconsider dating James. Lenora made it a point of reference to mention that they, in fact, were from two different backgrounds. He was born to generational wealth and would always be wealthy, while she had been born to a mother who raised her single-handedly, who struggled hard to make a life for the both of them. The stark difference had been made even more abundantly clear on her first visit to the Davis mansion. The degree of opulence in the sprawling three-story house that she came to understand sat on its own 32 acres of land and boasted a garden that could rival that of the Queen of England's and littered with other amenities such as swimming pools and tennis courts had intimidated her. She'd been set on breaking up with James, but he had convinced her that he was in this for the long haul and he would get his parents to understand. That was the first time he'd said, "I love you." His revelation had melted her heart, and she'd also decided to fight for their relationship. Whatever James said to his parents, Lenora had become more welcoming, but Rory was sure it wasn't by choice.
"Why are you doing this to me? To our family?"
Rory slowed to a stop outside the dining room's entrance, obscured from view behind the half-open sliding doors, as their voices echoed loud enough for her to hear.
"You could have had any one of the debutantes in our social circle, yet you—"
"Yet I'm not interested in anyone else except Rory, the woman that I love, Mom."
James spoke up, his statement bringing a smile to Rory's lips.
"She is a kindergarten teacher, for God's sake," Lenora half shouted. "Richard, tell him."
There was a pause before the elder Davis spoke up.
"What your mother said, son.
Can you imagine what our friends and family would say about this?" Lenora asked. "And to have the wedding in Oak Harbor, really? Why don't we just have a good old back of woods country hoedown of a wedding then?"
Her voice dripped with disdain.
Rory shook her head in disbelief at how disrespectful her soon-to-be mother-in-law was being behind her back. It shouldn't have been surprising, but to hear her say those things still felt like being socked in the gut.
Mom, James shot in a warning tone, I am marrying the woman of my dreams. That's what should matter. That's what our family should be focusing on, and quite frankly, it's none of their business.
He fumed with finality. Instead of conceding, the woman tried another tactic of reasoning.
James, I know it might not seem to be of consequence now, but this union has the potential to wreck our family's reputation.
James released a frustrated breath as he asked, How do you propose it will do that, Mother?
Well, think of the information that just came to light. She is the product of a one-night stand, to state the obvious. And to make matters worse, her mother fooled around with a married man.
Rory clutched her chest as her heart plummeted to the bottom of her chest. She couldn't hear anything else that Lenora was saying, as the hurtful words kept ringing in her ears. It felt like the first time she'd met James's parents all over again, only the pain and shame from Lenora's words hit 10 times greater. As much as she knew that her mother-in-law did not care for her, she thought that they were making progress enough to at least be tolerant of each other. The woman's attack on her mother and Origen proved that she was unwilling to welcome Rory into her family, and probably never would. Unshed tears burned her eyes as her vision became blurry. She pressed her fingers against her closed eyes, willing the tears away. Rory took a deep breath and allowed her hands to fall by her side. She walked through the open door, her expression as neutral as she could muster. She raised a questioning brow at James, who was on his feet, his expression dour.
The dinner is over. We're leaving,
he spoke, shocking her and the other two occupants at the table. James walked toward her, took her hand, and all but hauled her toward the front door. A few minutes after the valet handed James the key to his Land Rover, they were driving through the gates of his parents' home.
Are you okay?
Rory asked worriedly after more than 10 minutes of tense silence.
Yeah, I have a lot on my mind,
James responded, his voice tight. And you're angry, Rory concluded. James released a long sigh. He looked at her briefly before turning his attention back to the road.
I'm sorry we had to leave like that,
he told her a few seconds later.
My parents and I had a disagreement, and I didn't think it was wise to continue with our evening.
Was it about me? She slowly asked, even though she already knew the answer. James's hand tightened on the steering, and a muscle ticked in his jaw. That was confirmation enough for her. Reaching across the console, she held his free hand.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault, he responded gruffly.
He released a heavy breath, and she felt him tense. James moved his hand from under hers and rested on the steering, looking straight ahead. Rory turned to look at the dark, blurry figures the car zipped past. Her heart felt heavy with disappointment and fear. It felt like James was pulling away from her. Chapter 1. Rory's Point of View. Present Day.
Lenora, I don't want to change my color scheme, and to be honest, adding orange will only throw off the theme entirely. Jennifer said she'd already spoke to you about this.
Rory pinched the bridge of her nose and rested the back of her head against the wall. Her eyes were tightly shut, her brows drawn together in exasperation. She could feel a headache coming on as she tried to reason with the obstinate woman on the other end of the call. The only thing left for her to do was huff in annoyance at how difficult the woman was being.
I thought you were okay with me offering input in this wedding. After all, it's my one and only son's first nuptials.
Rory's eyes flew open, only so she could roll them in irritation.
As much as I wanted the wedding to take place here, it's not. And I have come to terms with it. I would therefore expect a little bit more gratitude. Yet it feels like you're bent on excluding me and my ideas, even though I have taken into consideration your situation, and Richard and I have chosen to take care of everything.
forgoing the tradition where the bride's parents pay for the wedding?
Rory felt like screaming at the woman in that instant. Instead, she turned and bumped her forehead against the wall, with enough strength to feel the impact, but not enough to hurt. She wished she didn't have to wait another couple of months before she could get her hands on the inheritance left to her. Then she wouldn't have to take Lenora's snide comments and her always throwing the fact that she and her husband were the ones paying for the wedding.
All right, Lenora, if you think Orange should be a part of this wedding, we'll find a way to incorporate it, she conceded. She was tired of the back and forth, and it was already decided that she would not win against the woman.
Perfect, her mother-in-law replied, satisfied.
I'm sorry, I have to go now. I have to mark some worksheets and prepare for my lesson tomorrow, she said, her tone dismissive.
No worries. We'll speak more about the other changes I think you should make in the week, Lenora replied cheerily. Rory grimaced.
Okay, bye, Lenora.
Bye, dear.
Rory released a long, exaggerated sigh the minute she disconnected the call. It felt like she'd just gotten out of the ring with a heavyweight boxing champion. She sauntered across the hardwood, cherry-stained floor of the living room to station herself at the floor-to-ceiling glass wall in the luxury apartment. She folded her arms across her chest and stared at the panoramic view of the city's urban landscape. From her vantage point, she could see the summits of Twin Peaks, the dome of City Hall, and the skyscrapers of the financial district that permeated the skyline. The orange-pink hue dancing across the horizon made it even more spectacular as the sun set just beyond the bay, casting the buildings into more colorful but shadowy shades. She wondered what time James would be getting in. He'd already been on an unpredictable schedule over the past month, which saw him getting in even later as time progressed. After heaving another long sigh, she crossed over to the kitchen island, where her work for the evening was already out. 3 hours later, she was finished, but James still wasn't home. Packing up her things, she headed for the ensuite bathroom in their bedroom and ran herself a bath. Rory heaved a sigh of relief as she submerged herself in the welcoming warmth of the water, the foamy bubbles settling over her. She rested her head against the tub's edge as she became more relaxed. She could already feel the tingling from the essential oils she'd added, and the tight muscles in her shoulders and arms had begun to unwind. She spent the next 20 minutes doing nothing but focusing on her breathing as the warm water performed its magic. Her mind switched to James. She wished her fiancé was here to share this moment with her. She missed him. It was as if something had shifted in him after their last dinner with his parents. He was different somehow, and it was affecting their intimacy. For the umpteenth time, the niggling doubt in the back of her mind surfaced. Shaking her head to dispel the thought, she released a heavy breath as she pulled herself up out of the water. After securing the towel around her, she pulled the plug to release the water and made her way into the bedroom. After donning her pajamas, she exited the room. "You're home," she spoke, surprised to find James posted by the glass-paneled wall. James inclined his head in her direction. "Hey," he greeted, a barely there smile turning up the corners of his lips.
"Hey," Rory returned, her voice just above a whisper.
"Did you just get in?" she asked, heading for the kitchen just at the other corner of the open floor plan of the space.
"I was in the bath for about half hour," she tacked on, opening the refrigerator and removing the dish and saran wrap.
"I just got in a few minutes ago," he revealed, still stationed by the wall.
"I made chicken lasagna."
She lifted off the wrap to place the dish in the microwave. "I'm not hungry. I ate at the office," James replied.
"Oh, okay."
Rory couldn't hide the disappointment in her voice. "I'll just take it for lunch tomorrow," James added.
"That's okay. I know you've been busy. I should have expected that you would have eaten already."
She mustered a smile. It felt more like a grimace. She wondered what it looked like to him. She took a seat by the island. Her gaze remained fixed on her clasped hands until she heard the movement of the chair on the opposite side of her. She looked up as James took a seat. His expression looked troubled.
How was your day? She asked.
Busy, he answered, his blue gaze cutting away from her.
Okay, she answered, unsure of how to proceed after his abrupt response.
Well, I had a great day at work today, she told him.
That's good,
James responded half-heartedly as he reached into his pocket to retrieve the vibrating phone.
Yeah, the children were super excited to draw and paint pictures of their families. It surprised me how good some of them were. There was this one particular kid, though.
She chuckled at the memory.
He was...
Her face fell, and the words died in her throat as she watched her fiancé fiddle with his phone.
Apparently, whatever you're reading is far more important than you listening to me, she expressed in a deadpan voice.
James's blue eyes shot up to stare back at her guiltily.
Rory.
Just then her phone rang, the ringtone signaling that it was her mother calling.
I need to take that. Excuse me.
She stepped out from behind her chair and crossed over to the living room. Reaching down, she retrieved her phone before pressing the answer button, then placed the phone against her ear.
Hi, Mom,
she greeted.
Hi, sweetie. I know it's late, but you were on my mind, so I just wanted to check in and see how you were doing,
her mother said. Even without her saying it outright, Rory could sense her concern.
I'm fine, Mom. Everything's...
She cast her eyes to James, who was already staring back at her.
Everything's great,
she lied, turning her back to look out at the high-rise buildings flooded with light.
That's good to know, Andrea returned. And how is my wonderful son-in-law? Is he there?
Rory struggled to maintain an airy tone.
He's great. He's here, but busy.
Okay, well, tell him hi for me, and not to work himself to death.
I will, Mom,
she promised, casting a look over her shoulder to see her fiancé's head resting on the island.
How are Aunt Cora and Aunt Jo? How is Grandma? She asked, changing the subject.
Cora and Jo are fine, Andrea replied. Her mother's hesitance in responding to her second question told her that Grandma Becky wasn't doing well.
Mom's okay for the most part, Andrea finally answered after a long pause. She's been far less active after the fall and her hairline fracture, but we're monitoring her.
Rory sighed sadly.
I wish there was a cure for this, Mom, she expressed.
I know, sweetie. Me too, her mother agreed. Enough about that. I know the wedding is a month and a half away, but I wish I was there with you every step of the way planning it all.
Rory smiled, touched by the earnestness in her mother's voice. I remember promising you when you were 8 that I would help you every step of the way to plan your wedding to Prince Charming.
Rory chuckled as the memory of that day came back so fresh in her mind.
I remember, she confirmed. Oh, sweetie, I'll make some time to come out to San Fran to help you with as much of the plans as I can. I promise.
Mom, that's okay. You don't have to do that. You're needed in Oak Harbor, and I understand. I promise.
Rory pressed the phone tightly against her ear as a wave of melancholy hit her.
Besides, James's mother is very much involved in the planning, she informed her.
Oh, okay, sweetie. Her mother's disappointment gnawed at her.
But don't worry, we'll still have plenty to plan together when I get to Oak Harbor, she assured the woman. Hearing the pull and a thud of a door, she looked over at the island to see it empty. James was no longer there.
Listen, Mom, I don't mean to end the call quickly, but I still have some finishing touches to make to my lesson.
Okay, sweetie, I'll let you get back to it, Andrea conceded.
Bye, Mom.
Bye, sweetie. Rory sighed deeply before heading toward the master bedroom. The bathroom door was partially opened, and she could hear the shower going. She sat up in the bed with her legs crossed as she waited for James. 3 minutes later, the shower turned off. And 5 minutes after that, James emerged from the bathroom in his pajamas and a towel hanging loosely around his neck as he used one end to dry the excess water from his dirty blonde hair. He stopped midway when he noticed her and the gravity on her face.
What's wrong? He asked.
You're seriously asking me that?
Her eyes narrowed as she stared back at him. James didn't respond.
Rory threw her hands in the air as annoyance got the better of her.
How about the fact that you've been completely distant and distracted for nearly a month now? You don't look at me the way you used to. You don't look at me at all, if I'm being honest. I miss our early morning cuddles and talks, because by the time I'm up, you're gone. And don't get me started on how late you've been coming home.
Rory huffed, the weight of her words affecting her mood. She turned hurt green eyes on him as she said in a pained voice,
"You don't even kiss me like you used to. It's like we're two strangers occupying the same space at this point."
Her eyes slid shut as she released a soft sigh. She opened them to see James staring back at her, guilt written all over his face.
"What happened to us, James?" she breathed out.
His gaze fell to his feet. His Adam's apple bobbed as he swallowed.
"I need to show you something."
He walked over to his briefcase and pulled out a file jacket.
"Now?"
Rory asked, confused as to how this related to their conversation. She moved to the edge of the bed and swung her legs over the edge, then stood up. James turned back to her, his expression guarded.
"I've been trying to find ways to give this to you for over 2 weeks now."
He opened the file and handed it to her. Rory reached for it with shaky hands. She felt drops of sweat form on her brow at how nervous she was. Carefully, she began to read the words on the first page of the document. Her eyes widened into saucers before narrowing and tightening at the corners.
"What the heck is this?"
she asked, gripping the paper as she looked back at James. He released a shaky breath before replying,
"It's a prenup. Mom and Dad thought it was a good idea to have one just in case things don't work out between us. They had our lawyers draw up the contract for us to sign,"
he rambled, then palmed the back of his neck.
"The fact that you've had this for so long and that you're actually giving it to me only means that you were in agreement with them."
He didn't reply, but only stared back at her, his face riddled with guilt. Rory felt her heart lodge in her ribs as her chest tightened with pain and her insides screamed out from the affliction and betrayal she felt.
"Oh my God,"
she exclaimed, just as her hand flew to her mouth to stifle the guttural sound that threatened to leave her lips. She shook her head, then stood up and ran into the living room, leaving James alone in the bedroom, before she'd return for round two of the argument.
How could he have done this to her?
Chapter 2. Andrea's Point of View.
"Come on, Dre, you've been thinking about your bet for a whole 2 minutes now. Either call or fold."
Andrea looked between the two cards in her hand, then at the four currently facing up on the table, before looking around the table at the expectant and impatient faces staring back at her.
"Let her be, Carrie. That is the mark of a true poker player, taking the time to consider all the odds before making your move,"
Luke directed at his daughter, who sat at the table with a dour expression on her face as she listened to him. Andrea chuckled at their interaction and turned her attention to her hand.
"All right, I'm calling," she finally decided.
Picking up two of the chips from her heap, she placed them with the others already stacked in the middle of the table.
"Finally,"
Carrie sighed in relief. There were other collective sighs of relief as the play passed to Joe on her left. Andrea playfully rolled her eyes, while a smirk raised the corners of her lips. "Check," Joe said almost immediately, holding the cards close to her chest. Soon enough, it was Andrea's turn again, and this time she didn't hesitate to raise the stake after the last card was placed beside the other four.
"I don't like the sound of that. I'm folding,"
Joe returned, laying her hand of cards on the table and leaning back in her chair.
"I'm folding too,"
Tessa, who sat to her immediate left, decided a few seconds later.
"Me too,"
came the decisions of her two aunts, her mother and Julia.
"There is no way you have such a great hand with what's on the table,"
Carrie challenged. Andrea simply inclined her head to the right, with a teasing smirk on her lips, as her cousins stared pointedly at her, trying to determine if she was bluffing. Reaching for her cup of coffee, she sipped it, unbothered.
You're the one holding up the game now, Care Bear,
she threw mockingly at her cousin.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?